It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast.
President Trump pushes for a coronavirus vaccine. It's Monday, May 18th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, a deadly Islamic State attack. Democracy in Asia is under pressure. A new approach to Ramadan. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump has announced a decision to send ventilators to India, adding that both countries are cooperating on developing a vaccine for the virus.
We're sending a lot of ventilators to India. I spoke to Prime Minister Modi, and we're sending quite a few ventilators to India. We have a tremendous supply of ventilators.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Saturday thanked the United States for the pledge, underlining the importance of nations working together during the coronavirus pandemic. The White House did not specify the number of ventilators that would be sent to India. The U.S. has promised to send ventilators to several countries hit by the virus that has claimed more than 307,000 lives worldwide and infected more than 4.5 million people. President Trump also acknowledged the great Indian-American scientists and researchers who were contributing to the development of a coronavirus vaccine. Last month, India had allowed export of hydroxychloroquine after Trump urged New Delhi to release supplies of the drug seen as a possible treatment for COVID-19 in the United States, where more than 87,500 deaths have been attributed to the virus, with over 1.4 million infected, according to Johns Hopkins University data. President Trump, meanwhile, unveiled Operation Warp Speed, an initiative aimed at developing a coronavirus vaccine by the end of the year, although he vowed the country would reopen with or without one. The Trump administration also laid out plans to expand an initiative to ensure the United States does not run out of critical medical supplies. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swarer reports.
U.S. President Donald Trump intends to have hundreds of millions of coronavirus vaccine doses available by January 2021.
It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast.
Most public health experts agree it's an ambitious timeline, but they say it may be possible to have a vaccine ready for emergency use on high-risk groups such as healthcare workers and the elderly.
Everything would have to go perfectly. I think for the general population, we are really still looking at an 18-month endeavor here if all goes well.
With an election looming in November, Trump is also keeping his eye on reopening the country and its economy.
Vaccine or no vaccine, we're back. And we're starting the process. And in many cases, they don't have vaccines. And a virus or a flu comes, and you fight through it.
Trump has expressed support for protesters who want individual states to lift stay-at-home orders and open their economies, though many do not meet his own administration's criteria to do so. Some include so-called red states that voted for Trump in 2016. Analysts say Trump's support for protesters may hurt him politically if states that reopen too early see a rise in the number of coronavirus cases.
It is a big risk to take, and what we're seeing now with cases emerging in rural areas and in places where Trump has been strongest, the red states and the red parts of blue states, suggests that this could be a gambit that could backfire. God bless the
USA. Earlier this week, Trump also announced plans to ensure the nation has enough supply of medical and emergency gear.
Instead of 1 to 3 weeks worth of supplies, we had less than that, the U.S. government will now stockpile 3 whole months, much of it made in the USA.
The Trump administration has been criticized by some for the country's lack of personal protective equipment in the early weeks of the pandemic. Replenishing the strategic national stockpile is seen as critical.
It's really important that we do everything we can now to prepare for a fall or winter pandemic wave when we will likely have both flu as well as COVID-19 at the same time.
The administration plans to expand American manufacturing of these medical supplies to reduce reliance on foreign companies and create jobs domestically. Patsy Whitaker-Swarer, VOA News, Washington.
The
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. India extends lockdown for 2 more weeks. Nepal police fire live rounds at Indian farmers trying to cross the border amid lockdown. Afghan President Ghani and rival Abdullah sign power-sharing deal. Thailand malls reopen with temperatures taken, masks worn. For many Cambodians, debt repayment, bigger threat than COVID-19. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United States says an Islamic State terrorist group is behind deadly attacks against a hospital and funeral service in Afghanistan last week. The U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan Reconciliation says the Islamic State is trying to pit the Taliban and Afghan government against each other. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more.
The attack on the maternity ward of a Kabul hospital killed 24 people, further threatening an already fragile peace process in Afghanistan. No one has claimed responsibility, and the Taliban has denied any involvement. The blast prompted the France-based relief group, Doctors Without Borders, to suspend its operations at the hospital, and it is at a loss about the motive.
We don't know. Frankly, we don't know. We are still analyzing the whole situation today.
U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad says he believes the Islamic State committed the horrific attack, saying it's consistent with past patterns. Asked if the terrorist group has coordinated with the Taliban, Khalilzad says the Islamic State and the Taliban are mortal enemies. Khalilzad negotiated and signed the U.S. peacebuilding agreement with the Taliban in February to end the nearly 19-year Afghan war and bring American troops home. But some are skeptical, including U.S. Congressman Michael Waltz, who served in Afghanistan. Waltz says he doesn't believe the Taliban's claim it wasn't involved.
Well, I don't see how the inter-Afghan talks can proceed with this type of violence. I don't know any government that could enter into talks when their security forces, their police forces, their government are being so viciously attacked.
Tuesday's violence prompted Afghan President Ashraf Ghani to order security forces to resume offensive operations against what he termed the Taliban and other terrorist groups. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia news, the clash between China and the United States over COVID-19 has caused a rift between European nations at the UN Security Council over a call for ceasefires in some conflict zones during the pandemic. At the heart of the dispute is Trump's offensive against the World Health Organization, from which he has vowed to cut all U.S. funding. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a brand new week. We're glad you're starting it with us here on VOA Asia. China is touting its success in curbing the outbreak of COVID-19 that has now spread to the rest of the world. But the so-called success came at a steep price. The state's massive surveillance network now intrudes even further into people's lives, with more crackdowns on speech and more government critics in prison. Beijing argues the hardline measures are necessary, but other countries show they may not be necessary. We hear more in this report written by VOA State Department correspondent Nike Ching.
Around the world, many popular landmarks and streets remain empty due to restrictions amid the COVID-19 outbreak. Yet in some places, schools, offices, and restaurants are gradually reopening, including in China, once the world's coronavirus epicenter. U.S. President Donald Trump initially praised Beijing's response to the outbreak. But as the virus spread and more Americans died, Washington accused China of hiding key information about the origins of the coronavirus. China rejects the criticism and points to its support of the World Health Organization in fighting the pandemic. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says this assertion ignores how Beijing continues to undermine the global effort.
We still don't have the samples that we need. We still don't have the access. We collectively, the world, don't have the samples. It's not even just that in the moment they couldn't do the right thing. They continue to be opaque. They continue to deny access for this important information that our researchers, our epidemiologists need. And importantly, this could happen again.
Beijing insists it is cooperating and being transparent, even though it has not allowed international scientists access to the Wuhan Virology Lab and other places that may have played a role in igniting the pandemic.
For some time, the U.S. government has ignored the facts, diverted public attention, and passed the buck in an attempt to shirk its responsibility for incompetence in the fight against the epidemic. This approach will not erase Chinese people's achievements in the epidemic prevention and control through hard work.
China positions itself as the leader to fight the pandemic, but the achievements to control the coronavirus are not Beijing's alone. Some senior U.S. officials say democratic governments like Taiwan are examples of how authorities can effectively respond without undermining individual rights. Now China and other countries are battling a new wave of coronavirus infections, putting their pandemic response systems and their political systems to another test. For Nike Ching, I'm Elizabeth Cherneff for VOA News.
The COVID-19 pandemic has forced many into changing their way of life and routines. Muslim communities in the United States who are observing the holy month of Ramadan must too adapt to this new norm. Ariadne Budianto narrates this report by VOA's Yuni Salim.
You're inside Ar-Rahmah Mosque. Every evening around 7 to 7:30 p.m., we distribute food. Recipients picked it up in their cars. The mosque youths distributed the packets. For older recipients who are unable to come and pick up the food in person, we will deliver to their homes with our van.
During this Muslim holy month of Ramadan, Ar-Rahmah Mosque in Redmond, Washington, distributes 150 food packages to the community, according to its imam, Indonesian-born Muhammad Joban. The mosque was established in 2006 by the Muslim Association of Puget Sound, the largest Muslim community in the state of Washington. Every Ramadan, Ar-Rahmah hosts iftar meals eaten by Muslims after sunset. They normally serve 300 people during weekdays and up to 1,000 people on weekends. Using drive-through methods, mosques across the nation continue to hold iftars and food distributions, even as they close their doors for communal prayers and activities. Take Darul Hijrah Islamic Center in Falls Church, Virginia. The mosque serves as a donation hub for those who want to help and fulfill their religious obligations. The money received, mostly through online donations, is used to purchase the distributed food.
And obviously, you know, Ramadan is the month where Muslims are much more generous than the other months. And because not only that there are many, many rewards for giving charity in Ramadan, but also that was how the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to do.
Before the pandemic, Darul Hijrah Mosque served Ramadan iftars to approximately 800 people on weekdays and up to 1,500 people on weekends. This year, they're serving 300 to 600 people with their drive-through program, which is administered with social distancing rules. There are also separate charity funds to help the needy during Ramadan to pay rent and utilities, since millions of people, including Muslims, are out of work. For Yuni Salim in Falls Church, Virginia, I'm Ariadne Budianto, VOA.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia and see us on YouTube. You'll also find us on Instagram as well. We thank you for joining us, and we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popelboom. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.